began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. It's David Blair, Enzo Tamanini and Callum Stewart back for yet another week and for the second season in a row. An entire league campaign, what is that, 7-8 months? It comes down to game 36, the last game of the season. Last season it was to potentially win the league and go straight up to the top flight of Scottish football. This time it is just to survive in the second division or the second tier of Scottish football. But after a 5-0 win over Arbroath on Saturday just there, and with Inverness not getting the win in their game, we put ourselves back ahead of them. We are in the driving seat to survive, and we know that all we need to do is match Inverness, at the very least match Inverness's result on Friday evening. The only issue with that, I suppose, is that on Friday evening it is Airdrie at Hampden. Hampden, where our home record is quite incredible. I think, Enzo, we were speaking before we hit record, and we're going to talk about that as well. And I don't know if either of you have happened to have looked up our recent record against Airdrie. I unfortunately have, and I'll quiz you on that later. So it's perhaps not quite as easy as maybe expected, but on the back of an excellent 5-0 win, Enzo, let me actually start with you first this week. You obviously were there in Arbroath on Saturday. How was the day out? And, well, the scoreline speaks for itself, but how was the game?
It was a good trip. I mean, like pretty much everybody who's ever been up to Gayfield, it's one of, if not my favourite away day in Scottish football, and I'll be disappointed to see the back of it if they get relegated, but also that is exactly what I want to happen at this stage. And maybe who knows, they'll come back up the following season or we'll get drawn against them in one of the cups next season, who knows. But yeah, it was a good day out. It was lovely and sunny, but as usual, it was also pretty cold thanks to a horrific wind coming in from the North Sea. So many good pubs in Arbroath. We normally, as most people who've travelled up with the supporters bus will know, we normally go to a bowling club not too far from the ground or even walk down to Tutty's Nook. But this time we stopped in an area called Westport, went to a few pubs round about there, right next to the train station actually. So for anybody who's made their own way up to Arbroath, that's probably where, you know, the kind of places you'd be going. But yeah, good day out, fantastic win, and more importantly than just a win for me was a really, really confident, assured performance. And particularly Dom Thomas, back to the player that we know he can be, Killian Sheridan looking dangerous again. We deserve the 3 points. It could probably have been more than 5-0. And I'm feeling relatively optimistic going into a huge, huge and terrifying game on Friday night.
Not like you to be optimistic, is it, Enzo?
I know. The thing is, right, that's not true because I did used to be very optimistic, but this season's just, it's really kind of ground me down to nothing. And that's how I find myself in this situation where I'm a wee bit less optimistic than what I would usually be. But I think everything is lined up for us to hopefully come out of this the other end with a wee bit of a smile on our faces after what has been a really, really difficult campaign.
You had the international stream of the game. How did you find that, and what did you do either side of it with your weekend out in the long way?
The international stream was actually pretty decent in terms of the video quality. I mean, the commentary was slightly questionable, but pretty amusing to listen to on the most part. The guy who was commentating, I don't know if it's the same guy that went viral off the back of his comments in one of the previous streams, but he was talking about his laser eye surgery at one point. He was getting into it sounded like the commentary from a team who are doomed and relegated. But the actual game itself was good, and I totally agree with what you were saying, Enzo. The biggest thing, I mean, you can't take much, I think, from Arbroath. They were playing like a team who were relegated. There was nothing to them, to be honest, and everything about the game suggests that. But we still had to go out and win, and lots of our big players started to come onto a game. We'll obviously talk about Dom Thomas, absolutely fantastic. Lots of goals, no more than really you could ask for going into the last game of the season against Airdrie. So that's encouraging. Am I confident about Friday? I think so. I think I am confident, but I always say that with trepidation because, I mean, how many times over the course of the last like year and a half have we said that, and it's just flown back in our faces. But we've put ourselves into the into the best possible position. So yes, looking forward to covering the game in a wee bit more detail. Aside, what did I get up to this weekend? Not too much. I was able to watch a stream, so that was nice. We went out for dinner on Saturday, and then I played touch rugby again, still getting rings running around me, but it was, yeah, good to get out. The only downside with doing that is that it's always really early in the morning because it gets so warm. So after a sort of Saturday night, you're having to get up pretty early in the Sunday morning for it. But yes, good to be doing something at least. What about yourself, David? You were away spending a wee weekend with Brian Graham.
Yeah, he was being a traitor.
I was behind enemy lines, but I can assure you that the Partick Thistle versus Ayr United game was a pretty dreadful watch. And I did actually spend, I went out with me, I was out for the whole day. It was a good friend of mine, his home stag, so we were doing Thistle Hospitality out in the city centre. I actually took two rechargeable battery packs from my phone with me. One was solely to have during the game so that I could sit and watch, unfortunately not the stream for me, but you know, like on Bet365, if you know, it does like the live updates and it says like dangerous attack or throw in, whatever. I was just watching that for Queen's Park and obviously getting text updates, and I was also watching it for the Inverness game as well. I was jumping up and down celebrating five times more than any Partick Thistle fan in the stadium, so that felt great. I actually did it six times as well. As it was my good friend Stag do. He actually did play a season for QP supporters back a few years ago as well, so there is a Queen's Park tie there, so therefore I'm allowed to talk about it. But we had arranged for him to go on and actually do the crossbar challenge at halftime. Like Thistle, obviously, like fans go on and do that. You know, you sign up. I don't know how you do it usually, but we got him on there to do it. There was an American guy from like Seattle who, I don't know how he's a Partick Thistle fan, but he was there doing it as well. He was rubbish. And then my pal, wee Shagger McKenzie, lines up his first attempt. Horrific. Didn't even score the goal. Hit it well wide to the left. And you're like, oh, here we go. We've actually managed to embarrass him. He's going to mess up the next two. The second one, actually got it up, but it just went over the bar. You're like, uh-oh. Actually, he might actually do it. Third and final attempt. Cracks the crossbar. Gets a great big hug off Kingsley. That terrifying Partick Thistle mascot. And there's actually a couple of pictures of it. It was posted on, you know, that old Fun Facts? Does the weekly patter roundup in Scottish football. Picture of him being spun around by Kingsley made the weekly patter roundup. It was the best part of the day, on certainly at Fir Hill, and definitely going into the night as well. So I am absolutely gutted to miss a 5-0 victory for Queen's Park away, especially to Arbroath, but I certainly had as good a day and night as I possibly could. Let's talk about that game. And Enzo, you and Callum, of course, with the stream, you two can tell me what I was missing. Obviously, I've watched the highlights back. I've seen five excellent goals from Queen's Park, a few different scorers, first professional goal for Josh Scott as well, which is cracking disease. Obviously, been fantastic since he came in. Sheridan, once again, contributing a goal and an assist for Scott as well. Peyton, absolutely gutted not to get a goal. Me again, because I put him on my coupon. So that obviously didn't work out for me either. But on the day, five fantastic goals. Maybe we have to account for the opposition, you know, the fact they're already gone. And I don't know, they didn't seem like they impressed. Although, Enzo, when we were talking about it, you said that they looked better than the Hampden game, although obviously not by much.
I mean, the bar is incredibly low, because that Hampden game was a genuinely pathetic performance. Like they looked as though every single time we took possession of the ball, we were going to score. I feel as though I could have scored a hat-trick against them that night, and I've not kicked a ball in about 10 years. What I mean by that is they weren't quite as utterly horrendous. They were still bad, though. They're a bad team. They've lost, what, 9 games in a row now or something like that? It's a horrendous run of form. I can't believe it looks as though they might potentially be going into next season under the same manager who's... I realise that he came in under somewhat difficult circumstances. Dick Campbell had left them in a wee bit of a sticky situation, but I don't see how they can be feeling optimistic about next season unless they bring somebody in to for a bit of a fresh start. But yeah, our both were poor, but the thing is, it was still a really, really professional performance. And I think what's key for me is that we looked confident, because I think we have lacked confidence in spells this season, especially over the past few games, where we've looked as though we just didn't know what we were going to do, or we didn't even necessarily believe in our own ability to get the ball forward and create chances. And I'm hopeful that that'll, you know, set us up well for the game against Airdrie. I know that obviously that there's other results as well to take into consideration, but we don't have to just do the business on Friday night, and it doesn't matter what happens in the Inverness game. It's funny actually, because your Saturday there was such a comfortable victory from start to finish, but I don't think, and I know this is going to sound a wee bit harsh, but I don't think I necessarily enjoyed it, because I was paying far too much attention to the score coming through from that game at East End Park, because that was just giving me the absolute fear, and I probably celebrated the full-time notification coming through on my phone for that more than what I did when the referee actually blew his whistle up at Gayfield. But yes, it's a good one to take into Friday night, put it that way, regardless of the opposition. Forget about how shite our both are. It doesn't matter. We did what we had to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we talked about going into the Arbroath game, how whilst they are on this terrible run, a lot of their games have been close in that period of time. There's been I think they got gubbed by Ayr 5-0, didn't they? But aside from that, a lot of the games have been within one goal. So I wasn't expecting it to be a total, and obviously they've subsequently lost their position and they couldn't get out of 10th place. But I didn't expect us to go in and absolutely steamroll it. And I think that is credit to the players. And I mean, it is another one of those shining examples for me of, like, see when Dom Thomas comes into a game, and he is on it. He is just unplayable. I thought he was absolutely fantastic throughout the entirety of that game. And I do wonder, Enzo, if there is just a bit of that mindset thing. I mean, we've had a very good record against Arbroath on the most part, aside from one game recently, that if the players going into that game, they're just full of confidence for it. I feel like sometimes when we've went in with the Mortons of the world, your Dundee United, etc., I always think there's a wee bit of trepidation about how we approach some of those games, which isn't necessarily justified, because, I mean, Dundee United have obviously won the league, but on the most part, everyone else in this league is relatively close. I don't think the gaps are that huge between teams. So it was good that we went into that game the way that we did. And for so many players to be hitting form at the one time, you obviously mentioned Sheridan, David, in your roundup of him. I thought he was great. He did exactly what you would want from that role. He was holding the ball up. He got a couple of assists out of it. He got a goal himself. I mean, you can't ask for more. And it was an all-round good performance. But you're right, Enzo, it was laced with horror watching essentially two games at the one time, obviously watching their Arbroath game live and then waiting for the Inverness result to come through, because I mean, we've just, over the last few weeks, we've obviously not done the business ourselves, but results haven't exactly went our way either, and I was just kind of waiting for it to happen. And I think you put the message in the group chat first, Enzo, before my app had updated about them scoring the equaliser, and I was just like, oh Christ, here we go again. But thankfully that didn't come to fruition. And yeah, it sounds like we were quite lucky on that front as well, because by all accounts, from what I read about the performance of that game in the Inverness match, they were definitely on top in the second half. So thankfully that didn't come back round to bite us completely. And I don't know, I mean, going into the Airdrie game, can you be in a, like, given the sort of permutations of the last day of the season, we're certainly in the strongest position. I mean, Airdrie going into that game, they don't have anything to play for. They're not going to catch up with Partick Thistle, even if they end up on the same amount of points. They're not overturning a 10-goal deficit. So I've got to hope that they play a bit of a weakened side, and it allows us to maybe stretch our legs a wee bit more with the likes of Dom Thomas, and not a backs against the wall performance. So everything's in our hands. It's totally in our control. And exactly what you said, Enzo, we just need to go out and win that game and make the rest of the results that day completely, completely irrelevant.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's great knowing, and I think it was Josh Scott, the post-match interview, wasn't it? He was asked that as well, and Callum Davison also asked that, you know, now that we go and get the win on Saturday just there, Inverness didn't, it puts it back in our hands. We know what we have to do, and that is by far away the... If you're going to go into a situation like this, at least you know that you control it. And if we go and beat Airdrie, which of course we'll talk about a little bit more later on, but if we go in and beat them, we know... Go and win it. Simple as that. It should be straightforward enough team talk for Callum Davidson. and straightforward enough for those players that will hopefully once again be led by Dom Thomas out on Friday night. Yeah, it's, you don't want to be in this situation, but as I say, we're in the best, we're making the best of the scenario, and fingers crossed we go and do the job on Friday night. But as I say, the goals on Saturday, because some of them deserve another quick recap. Dom Thomas, both of his goals, you know, two absolute beauties, a left-footed volley and then that right-footed shot from the edge of the box, big high and looping, curling into the top corner to make it 5-0 at the end of the game. An absolute belter. Lovely goals in between. As I say, Sheridan, Scott with his first professional goals, first goal in senior football, so obviously that's a big moment for him. And Sean Welsh with a cracking goal, sort of smashing in from close range, following a free kick and a little bit of a stramash, but he manages to get the ball under control. It's that's 10 goals for Dom Thomas this season as well. So two players with obviously Peyton as well. Despite the fact we're languishing in 8th place, fighting to survive the drop, we've got two players with scoring 10 goals or over 10 goals in the season as well, which I don't think there are actually many, if any other teams could say that. Probably Dundee United.
Sure, Dundee United have maybe got players potentially.
Dundee United might do it. Let's see. So who's scored 10 goals? Actually, while I'm here, Fotheringham. So you've got Dom Thomas, Fotheringham from Dundee United, Muirhead from Morton, Dowds from Ayr. So Dundee United have 3. Tony Watt, Fotheringham, and Louis Moult. But we're the only other team with 2 players to have done that as well. So again, excellent from Dom Thomas, obviously missing the last or missing for 3 or 4 games just previously. Back firing exactly when we need him to be. The game itself, I'd say, what else is there? Really, is there much else that we can take? We've obviously touched on Arbroath themselves. I'd say Peyton was definitely frustrated at not getting a goal. He had that unbelievable combination, that link-up with Sheridan, where there was about 3 or 4 1-2s between them, going about 50 yards or so when Peyton picks the ball up in the middle of the park. But unfortunately, one of them was deemed offside, and the Peyton's goal with Peyton's tap in was ruled out. And I think he had another shot as well where you just seen him afterwards, after it was saved or blocked by the defender. You could just see him on the highlights just shaking his head, just realising it's not going to be his day. That was, I suppose, the only, even if it's a negative, I'm sure that's just one for him personally. At the end of the day, he's still going to look at it and go, you know, he's done his bit for the team. He's helped contribute with those other goals as well. Turner with a good assist for Sheridan for his goal, where Turner's perhaps struggled a little bit. And we've been wondering as if he's been playing a little bit too deep. Was he in that sort of deeper midfield role again on Saturday there, Enzo?
I would say so, yeah. I didn't really know. It was pretty similar to what we've seen in recent weeks. He was able to manage that a little bit better playing against a weaker team that probably didn't press as much as what some other sides do. And I think, just like you're talking about Rudy Peyton not picking up that goal, there was clear frustration from him. You could see he was working very, very hard. And he still played well, by the way, don't get me wrong. He still had a good game. But you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping the fact that he just couldn't quite find the net is going to make him even more desperate to do it 2 or 3 times on Friday night, because we might actually need that. The team were firing on all cylinders, put it that way. And I think to be the guy who has been the go-to for goals all season and not quite getting the score sheet, I can understand why that might be somewhat frustrating for him. But Dom Thomas, I think it was almost as if he was trying to make up for the fact that he hadn't been involved for a few weeks. And, you know, obviously it doesn't change the fact that there were games where we probably should have got results and we didn't. But if he digs us out of this hole, you know, between Saturday and this coming game against Airdrie, then I'll forget about it and we'll just move on, put this whole season behind us. I think it was just that it was a confident performance. I think that pretty much sums it up for me. We knew that we were better than them. We knew that we were favourites to win the game. We knew that we needed it more than them, and we got the job done.
Yeah, I actually like seeing Stephen Peyton. He was obviously raging on a couple of occasions. I think one was caught in the highlights where he kicks the back of the net or something like that, and it gets his foot stuck. And I can't remember if he got a booking off the back of one of them as well. I'm not sure. But he did have enough chances in that game to have a hat trick, basically. He should have got one away. But I'm not worried about that. We all know that Peyton can score. And more importantly, there was plenty of other scorers in that game, which is what you need. And you obviously touched on having two players now that have hit the 10 goal mark in the season, David. And I think it just demonstrates, it's like goal scoring. I know over the last wee while we've obviously had a dearth of goals, but across the season, it hasn't been our issue. Like, we scored 48 goals this season, which outside the top three is the highest behind Ayr, who scored 50. So like the goals scored was never the issue. It was always the goals against where we're languishing, I think, with the second highest amount of goals conceded at 56. So
Ayr have
conceded goals
more than us as well, haven't they? They're in a kind of similar
situation
where they've been in the same sort of position all season where they've scored plenty, but they've also conceded even more. And that's why both teams have found themselves having somewhat problematic seasons where, all they had to do was somewhat shore that defence up slightly and you're potentially talking even challenging for the top four.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And if you're talking about defence, I mean, that's the one area which I guess you could say is a concern for next week, depending on how the game goes. I feel like if it's another sort of Arbroath-style environment where potentially Airdrie do play a slightly weakened team and we control the possession, then I think that will be okay. But if you're looking for pure defensive capabilities, I mean, we've now got a real list of injuries because Tizard, unfortunately, got substituted at about 50 minutes or something like that with Robson coming on. And that is, as far as I can see, really the last line of what I would class as senior players that you could be having in that back three before you're moving to the likes of to Reid, etc., who, nothing against them, but obviously last game of the season, biggest moment of the year type thing, you kind of want your senior guys in there. So that's a wee bit of a shame. And I actually feel sorry for him on the whole. I was reflecting a wee bit about his year. And I mean, it's fair to say that he struggled to start with. He had that pretty bad incident with Eldon when he gets subbed off on the TV, etc. But he's, since Davidson's came in, Tizard has been absolutely fine every time that he's played. He's been, there hasn't been any real issues, and for him to kind of get that injury at this point in the season is obviously disappointing. But upside to that is Charlie Fox has looked great since he came back. I mean, he was another one who struggled under Veldman, as did everyone, let's be frank, with the way that we were trying to defend under the old system. But I thought he looked really assured. I mean, he's maybe not been in the mould of the sort of marauding runs that we might have been used to under Owen Coyle version of Charlie Fox, but defensively he looked massive, big, strong, physical, just doing the simple things right, getting the ball away. So I think that's reassuring. That's the only area of the pitch that I'm a wee bit concerned for next week, because we are kind of at our limits in terms of injuries with Wilson, Tizard, and Thompson potentially all out. It'll be a tricky one.
Do we know what the situation is with Danny Wilson at all?
No, I think it was briefly mentioned in the pre-match interview with Callum Davidson, and he said that Thompson and Wilson, I think when that interview came out on Thursday morning, or was it Thursday afternoon, said that they hadn't been training yet, and that he would give them right up until as late as possible to make that decision, given the fact that neither made the squad at all. That's potentially a concern. And, you know, as Callum rightly points out, you know, with Tizard going off injured as well, yes, it's great to have Charlie Fox back, and, you know, he's been back two games, and it's been two clean sheets in those games, with 90 minutes played in both games as well. So, you know, it's great to see that as well, but, you know, that injury list, especially if you're missing really important guys like Wilson and Thompson, who obviously has been for years, Tizard, who's now coming into it and has performed well when he's been called upon, you know, it does leave us a little bit weaker at the back, which could be a concern.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we all know what Charlie Fox is. You touched on Charlie Fox coming back in, Callum. We all know what he is capable of, and there's been times where he's struggled. But he's one of the players, I think, who suffered the most under the style of football that Veldman was trying to play. Tizard and Fox, actually, both of them did, because he was asking defenders to do things that they really shouldn't be asked to do and that clearly didn't fit into their sort of skill set. And I think you put Charlie Fox at centre-half, you can let him run with the ball occasionally, but you know the idea of him passing it out the way that Veldman was trying to enforce was just never, ever going to work for guys like him. And as I say, same as Tizard. But we know that if a manager can get the most out of him, then he's going to be such a massive asset for us in this final game. And also next season, bear in mind that Charlie Fox, fingers crossed, is now fully fit. And as we're all aware, he is under contract for the for next season as well, whatever division we're in, hopefully the Championship. So, yeah, I'd like to think that Davidson's the kind of guy that could get the most out of him, because we know that, we know what he's capable of. We know what kind of defender he can be for us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's great to have him back. We'll obviously wait and see if we get any news on those injuries, leading up to to Friday's massive game.
I can tell you that Will Tizzard's done his hamstring. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was it fairly obvious at that point?
That is definitely what happened. I know that for a fact.
Fair enough.
Well, Davidson did say he was out for the. He wouldn't be back. He said that in his interview after the game as well. So
he did.
Well,
yeah.
Hopefully, that's something that he can recover from as quickly as possible, and we'll see. We'll see how he is in the upcoming preseason.
Yep, absolutely correct there. Anything else to say on the Arbroath game? Should we get a man of the match from you? There's plenty to choose from. I think there might be one that's a bit of a standout, but you two argue amongst yourselves.
Well, for me, it's between Sheridan and Dom Thomas. I think Sheridan was everything when he's been at his best. Saturday was a really good example of what he can do for us. But I think for me, it has to be Dom Thomas. You know, the goals were fantastic. His overall contribution was excellent. And also just because I bloody missed him, it's brilliant to have him back in that starting 11 doing what he's capable of doing. So for me, that'd be my choice. I'm not sure what you think about that, Cal.
Oh, it wasn't even a question for me. It's 100% Dom Thomas. Sheridan did have an absolutely fantastic game. But for me, Dom Thomas just did the stuff in that game that other people on our team can't do. And that's why he's such a miss when you lose him from that squad. Because you don't see that sort of quality from anyone else on our side. And that's not necessarily a criticism, but he's just willing to do that stuff that most players aren't. And the only other guys that I could, Grant Savory, right? See, when he was not crocked, he used to be of that ilk. He had that wee bit of sort of magic about him, and he could do stuff that you're like, oh my God, that's impressive. But with him not there, it's basically lands at Dom Thomas's feet. And when he does it, it's amazing. I mean, I don't know about you. So it is Dom Thomas, by the way. That's what we're going for. But what was your favourite out of his two goals?
For me, the second one. Now, actually, it's funny. I've actually thought about this already. I think the first one probably came to him at a more difficult angle to score from, but I just thought the second one was a wee bit more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, the second one reminds me of, mind you, did that sort of very similar right-footed big curling effort when we were at Ockleview. Was that against, I want to say that was against Ayr?
I was going to say, season? I think it was Ayr, yeah.
And it was similar, and obviously, because he is, he's known to be left-footed, but he's very two-footed, and we've seen him score a number of goals now with his right foot, and they tend to be crackers as well. I just thought, that one, and I think you're right as well. See the angle of the camera for the highlights as well. And I'm sure, Enzo, your angle behind the goal was the exact same on the other side. But I think when you look at the camera, it definitely gives that second one a wee bit more to it. So I would probably say that one would have been my pick of the two.
Are you going to disagree with us, Cal?
No, I totally agree with what you said at the start, Enzo. I think the second one was better to watch, but I think the first one was a harder goal. But the second one was good. I mean, even the way that he kind of lets the ball roll across in front of him before hitting it's impressive. So, Dom Thomas, man of the match.
If we can give Killian Sheridan a consolation prize of maybe another year on his contract at Queen's Park, because at this point, do you remember during the summer and we were getting very sort of antsy about Charlie Fox not re-signing, and we were starting to get to the point where we were talking every day about it, what's going on? I feel like I'm already going to start getting to that point about Killian Sheridan, because just final word before we move on to the next stuff and obviously move on to Airdrie, but I cannot get over how much he's impressed me coming to Queen's Park, and that's now 4 goals and 5 assists in 11 games when we've been battling relegation, and he was signed, and how many times we said this, everybody assumed he was going to be a backup, he was going to be coming on for the last 5 minutes or so if we're chasing a game to win headers and stuff. He wins all his headers amazingly, but how good is he with the ball at his feet, and how good is he with his pace, busting through, beating Arbroath's high line to score his goal from that, getting onto that long ball.
I think the best way I've heard it described was, I assumed it'd be one of those players you'd forget about, somebody would mention in 6 or 7 years and go, oh, I mind he briefly played for us, because he was just, he did absolutely nothing. But I can't believe how good he's been. And you mentioned that there, David. The thing that really, really surprises me, and Saturday was an excellent example of that, especially the goal that he did score, his pace, he's genuinely very quick for a big guy, for a guy who's, let's be honest, probably slightly past his prime I can't believe the speed that he can run at. And I give him a year. Absolutely, sign him up for a year. Give him another another short term contract, and we'll see how he gets on next season with us. Because he won't be short of suitors, maybe kind of lower end championship, maybe even top of League One, and clubs will want to sign him based on what he's done to us.
Yeah, 100%. From their growth commentary, one of the good points that they did make, which I think is pretty evident across the championship, is that teams that do well always seem to have a big striker kicking about somewhere, like your Brian Grahams, your Oakleys, etc. A lot of teams in the championship tend to go down that route. And I think that's almost why I didn't expect much from him, right? Because when I seen him played for Inverness in the very, very brief moments that he got any game time, he was played as your traditional big striker. It was very like sedentary. There wasn't much movement for him. It was kind of like play the ball with his back to goal and see what he can do, which he does have that skill set and he can knock it on, but he's never, ever, ever going to be a lone striker, which is what I think he ended up playing in a lot of the time. But see, when we signed him, I laughed and I feel bad for it now because I've been proven hilariously wrong. But like, see, when Davidson said in his initial interview, he's been like, yeah, I've been looking for a striker that can like play off the shoulder. And I was like, what? I was like, well, why have we, like, surely that's not Sheridan. And that goal was just an example of it. And he's done it a couple of times this season where he does have really, really good timing for his runs and he does have a quick burst of pace. And fair play to him. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that this spell with us was probably the determining factor in whether he still has a professional football career next year, and he has grabbed it with both hands and more. Almost kind of feels like, remember that it's not the same, right? But remember when Simon Murray, just before Owen Coyle joined, and I think it was fair to say most Queens fans, or well, between the three of us anyway, we were certainly discussing, it was like, okay, Simon Murray's been good, but would you want to like keep him on? And then obviously he essentially got us promoted through the playoffs and he was the talisman. And then I would say that was a moment that totally rejuvenated his career, was Owen Coyle coming in and getting the best out of him. I'm not saying that Sheridan's going to come on and end up going up to the SPL or the Premiership and doing well, etc. But it does feel like he's went to the right team at the right time, fundamentally with the right manager, and it might just add a few years on his career. And yeah, I would be more than happy to be lining up with Sheridan, Peyton and somebody else kicking about next season.
I think one of those players that will be kicking about next season may well be one of the young players that we'll talk about in a moment. But yeah, Sheridan has been absolutely fantastic. A number of good performers on the day on Saturday, but yeah, you guys have decided pretty convincingly that it was Dom Thomas as our man of the match for the 5-0 win away to Arbroath. Let's move on, do our news roundup, because there's not many different subjects to talk about, but we've also got one big one with the Club Player of the Year presentation happening the weekend just there as well. Other Queen's Park results, well, there was no QP supporters game. I think most of it still hung over from the week before, or maybe still licking our wounds from the week before, so thankfully there was no game. There was no game for Queen's Park women's team either, but they did post on Twitter, I think was it yesterday or it may even have been earlier on today, on Monday, that for their Player of the Year awards, there's an opportunity for fans to vote and have their say on it as well. I don't think we've shared it yet on our page on Twitter, but we will repost that, and it of course has been posted by the women's team, which, if you're not following them already, it's at Queen's Park WFC. You've got the opportunity to vote for your Player of the Year and your Young Player of the Year, so you can get along and get your vote in and get that contributing to their Player of the Year bash, which of course will be an absolute belter given the season that they've all had. There was one, as I say, Queen's Park team playing, aside from the men's first team, which was the under-18s. On Friday, they beat Motherwell 4-2 in the under-18s Elite League. It was, the goal scorers were Daryl Carrick, Tyrese McDonnell, who I'm sure has scored quite a few goals for the under-18s this season, Connor Falls and Jamie Bradley. I actually have a wee look for a league table for the under-18s, and I've not been able to find one. I don't know if it's one of these ones that they don't post a league. I don't really know, unfortunately, but it's not on the SFA website, despite the fact that they post the results, so if it's not there, then who knows who's keeping track of that. But that was a 4-2 win for the Young Spiders on Friday. So let's recap the Player of the Year presentation that happened the day after Arbroath away. I'm sure there were a few sore heads in the social club in the JP McAlpine Pavilion for that. The awards that were handed out, so you had the Stuart Hendry Trophy for the goal of the season, and that was given to Dom Thomas for his goal against his former club Dunfermline in the 3-0 victory up there. The Roy Richmond Award for the Young Player of the Year, and that has gone to Liam McLeish. Martin Kelly Trophy for the Travel Club Player of the Year, which is voted for by everybody on the supporters' buses on the way back from every game, that went to Jack Thompson. And perhaps no surprise, really, the two Player of the Year awards, one voted for by the QPSA Young Members, the Young Supporters Trophy, and then the Ivy Riddle Trophy for the Club Player of the Year was, of course, Callum Ferry. I doubt either of you will be like me and or agree with me and have any disagreements on any of those. So Dom Thomas could have had a couple more opportunities for the goal of the season there with his goals against Arbroath, but aside from that, it seems pretty straightforward and worthy winners of each trophy.
Yeah, the goal of the year, that's exactly what my pick would have been as well. And I think actually when the shortlist was announced, I was looking at it and going, do you know what? I think that in past seasons we've scored quite a few more screamers than this. So I think, I don't mean to be too critical of the players or anything like that, but I think in the past it's been much harder to pick because there have been so many fantastic goals. Not quite as many of them this season, unfortunately. But for me, that was the standout, and that was the obvious pick. And the other awards just kind of the winners speak for themselves. They all make sense. They're all totally justified. And obviously, congratulations to them all.
Yeah, totally agree. Can't have any complaints. Cal Ferry's been excellent. Jack Thompson, we've raved about him all season. And well done to them all.
Yeah, as I say, I think it will be Liam McLeish would be that third striker for me going into next season. Obviously, a few appearances off the bench. He had a couple of starts as well and scored one goal against Arbroath in the 6-0 game at Hampden. But he's shown some flashes. So I think, as I say, if we lined up with those three as our strike options next season, I think that would be a pretty good start. We'll obviously see what happens in the summer transfer window as well. But yeah, Dom Thomas definitely deserves it for that goal. And Callum Ferry, a worthy winner of Player of the Year awards from the club. And yeah, Jack Thompson, I mean, it's been years now that he's been excellent for Queen's Park. So long may that continue also. One last Player of the Year award to mention, but it was Rory Payton getting nominated for the PFA Championship Player of the Year. So obviously when we did our last episode, we had Payton and Ferry named in the Championship Team of the Year. But Payton is now up for Player of the Year alongside Louis Moult, Brian Graham and Lewis Vaughan from Raith Rovers, who didn't make the Team of the Year, but clearly good enough to get in for Player of the Year. Again, it's just great recognition for him, obviously, on the back of a fantastic season. 16 goals scored. Yeah, he'll be gutted to have not added to that on Saturday there. But, you know, again, for as many times as we've had horrific, I was going to say disappointing, as many times we've had horrific days in this season and horrific performances, Payton has frequently been the shining light. Even when things were going terribly, he was always there popping up with goals, and he's obviously continued to do that under Davidson as well.
He has. He's been absolutely excellent, and we had a wee chuckle on our WhatsApp the other night when we were having a wee read through Pie and Bovril, and I think on one of the threads, and was it Ayr fans and Airdrie fans were both like, oh yeah, I think we should maybe like try and get Payton next season. As if Payton, if he's leaving us, isn't going to be going to someone much better than both of those clubs. And then I thought it was even more amusing when I was reading fans responding to it, and they were like, yeah, no, I wouldn't take Payton. And I'm like, what planet are you on? But no, Payton's been absolutely fantastic this year, and yeah, I'm not gonna lie, by the way, he's one of the ones that I'm worried about getting poached during the summer. I mean, obviously we've got him on a very, very healthy contract length, which is to our benefit, and if he did leave it would be for a considerable wad of cash. But he is the sort of guy that I think would be very, very hard to replace. But yes, that's that worry, and I'll save for after he's secured us safety on Friday?
Well, yeah, I think, strangely enough, I'm slightly less concerned about Peyton leaving than what I am, for example, Thomas or Thompson, based on the fact that he does have that additional year in his contract. Because I think, I mean, hopefully the club would hold on for a serious fee for him. And I think that may be enough. Because I think what we would want for him would probably be a bit too much to put off the likes of Hearts and Hibs. And I think the other sort of clubs that might be looking at him, and it might even be slightly too much for the likes of St Johnstone, whatever, to be able to afford or even want. The only market, I suppose, that might meet all the criteria and that it would be a step up for him and that the money could be right would be the lower leagues down south, because you know what it's like down there. You get clubs that are willing to chuck daft money about, but fingers crossed we can hold on to him because he's been fantastic for us. And honestly, right, I know that if he won it, fans of other clubs would be like, well, what's that all about? Peyton, given how poor we've been all season, for me, having him shortlisted for that is totally justified. Absolutely justified. And I honestly think you could, you know, if he won it, it would be deserved. I'm not sure he will, but I think it would be absolutely well deserved. So we'll find out next week, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I do think, I mean, maybe it's the black and white tinted specs, I don't know, but I do think that given our league position, given what's happened to us this season, it surely adds a little bit more it adds more weight to Peyton's claim to actually be, you know, be given that trophy, to win that award. For him to have dragged us through, like we said with Callum Ferry, obviously, with the tournament, the team of the year, Callum Ferry's saves at the back have definitely kept us from being relegated. Peyton's goals have definitely done that as well. You know, you can't scrape through this league with one guy. You know, if without Peyton, we'd have Dom Thomas on 10 goals now. I'm not sure how's after that. I think it might be a little bit of a drop, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, he has been so important to us this season, and I think it's been absolutely incredible. And unlike you, Enzo, I'm going to agree with Callum, actually, in terms of I have the fear if he was to leave in the summer. Yes, you can say he's under the contract, so we'd get a decent fee and everything for him, but we've already lost one live wire striker, and we've seen what happened. So losing another one in two consecutive seasons, despite the fact we did find another one, it is very difficult to find strikers like that. And I do not want to see him leave. Obviously, if he goes on and betters him, you know, goes and finds better money or whatever it is, then the very best luck to him if that happens. But I don't want to see it happen for a few years yet. I'd love to have him around for another season, maybe see what happens next year. I think the Championship, touch wood, if we're still there, is going to be quite an incredible league. If we do end up going down, I reckon he'd probably walk League One with, like, on one leg. I mean, he did it last season, so I don't see why he wouldn't do it again with us. Where are we to go down? I think he's in the best place for him. But, yeah, Peyton up for Championship Player of the Year. Obviously, very, very deserved nomination for that, and we'll wait to see who comes away the winner of that award. Shall we move on to talking about Airdrie? And we'll start, let's just start first of all with the, like, is it a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of the fear? I think right now, sitting here Monday evening, probably a 4 for me, but I'm sure as each day passes, that'll increase by 1. Enzo, where are you sitting, scale of 1 to 10?
I am far, far more calm than I expected I would have been, to be honest with you. I'm maybe a 2.5 right now. I just have quite a lot of faith that we are going to get the result we need on Friday night. And it's not even, I'm not worrying about the Morton Inverness game. I just think we'll do it. I think the players are going to be hungry for it. And the thing is, right, so we talked about, everyone's talking about Airdrie players, you know, about Reece McCabe potentially making some changes here and there, right? But even if he plays his starting lineup, he's going to have guys out there who are going to be looking at the fact that they're going to have 2 to potentially 6 games coming up. And with promotion to the Premiership on the line, they're not going to be given 100% regardless. And even when we've been poor this season, I know we haven't beaten Airdrie, right? But we've more or less matched them. I think we'll do it. I think we'll win, and I think we'll be safe. And I think we'll be able to put this horrible season behind us and hopefully build on for a much better one next year.
Yeah. It's funny, right? See, if I look through every single team in the league right now, and I'm excluding Arbroath because we've literally just played them. See, if you were to ask me who I wanted to play on Friday, I don't want to play Dundee United, Wraith or Thistle, right? Because I fundamentally believe that they've just got better squads than us and they'll probably find their way past us one way or another, or it's going to be a lot more competitive. I do not want to play Morton. I don't want to play Dunfermline or Ayr because they're not going to be resting players and they're just all right just now. And I certainly don't want it to be against Inverness because that's a bag of nerves that I don't need. I think an Airdrie side who have just snuck into the playoffs, and I know that what you said about regardless of whether they're resting players, they will rest players, so that's to our advantage. I think that is a team that I would potentially be picking to play because we do match up against them. We've had a couple of draws against them, and then that horrible, was it Todorov who scored in the last minute to...
Yep.
Was that just after Christmas? I remember it being around the festive period.
That's right. That was between Christmas and New Year. That 2-1. That was under Knighton before Davidson was announced. Yes. So that was pretty miserable. Before I go to my next point, Cam, give me that. If it's a scale of 1 to 10, where are you right now?
I'd say I'm about a 4. I've got a weird sense of sort of confidence about it, but I mean it'll all change. This is like any time that you've got any sort of confidence, see when the game starts and you're potentially not doing well after the first 30 seconds, it'll all be in the bin.
Yeah, well, see, to be fair, right, even though I said I'm a 2.5 right now, come even Friday morning that's going to be like a 9. So even though I'm optimistic,
let me see if I can change it for you right now. Got a couple of stats for you. Okay, so this is the last league game of the season. We've done all of our away games. This is our last home league game of the season. You're aware of our home record in the league this season? So, of course, that includes two homes. So, at Lesser Hampden, one game, one win, 100% win record against Arbroath. We've played 16 games at Hampden. How many wins do we have?
I don't.
Is it like two or something like that?
It is two.
Yeah.
One against Dunfermline and one against Arbroath. So, that's two wins, six draws in 16 games. At Hampden, right? That is woeful. The only team with a worse home record than us is Arbroath, and that's only by 3 points. it's not much. So we have been utterly woeful at home. We've also been pretty woeful against Airdrie recently. Now, this stat I'm going to give you, this of course does cover the playoff victory against them a couple of years ago, but that was won in extra time. So over 90 minutes in our last 18 games against Airdrie, and this goes back to the 16-17 season, or including that point, our last 18 games, how many wins against Airdrie do we have?
18 games? What season does that go back to, sorry?
It goes back to the 16-17 season.
I would honestly guess about two. So we've got the one, obviously, I take it you're counting the playoff one, so... I would guess maybe two, possibly three.
The playoff one would count as a draw technically because we did draw 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, 90 minutes, so that's one draw.
90 minutes, sorry.
Season, we also drew with them, but then won on penalties in the Challenge Cup. Is it zero, David?
So what I'll actually do, I've just double-checked it. So from the start of the 16-17 season, that is 20 times we have played Airdrie, we have one win against them in the last 20 times.
When was that? Where?
That was the 7th of January 2017. Now that was at Hampden, so it was a home win. That is the last time we beat Airdrie in 90 minutes. You had, let's see here, you had Gregor Fotheringham opening the scoring for Queen's Park, Ian Russell equalising for Airdrie, and Ryan McGeever scoring the winner late on in the second half, around about the 75th, 80th minute. For Queen's Park. So in 20 games against Airdrie going back to the 16-17 season. So it's like one of these ones where, you know, like when we were talking about our record against Morton, where it's like, oh, but we hadn't really properly played them since like 2003 or something like that. We've played Airdrie quite a lot in recent times and we beat them once in the last 20 games in 90 minutes. It's pretty frightening.
Do you know what I would say in response to that? I would say that records are made to be broken, right? I don't care. We're still going to win.
And let's face it, we've won the most important one of those games. I know it wasn't in 90 minutes, but when it really came down to it, we managed to get over the line. And yeah, I mean, it's not been a good run, has it? But I mean, I would still argue, I don't think you could get many better circumstances for going into Friday. And yeah, I was, I mean, was that 2017 team? Was that when they had Andy Ryan and whatnot kicking about, scoring hundreds of goals? Because I remember that period where it just felt like we played Airdrie about 8 times in one season and didn't win any of them.
Yeah, this, that 16-17 season actually was. That was Andy Ryan. That clearly sticks out in your head. That was Andy Ryan with a quite incredible goal return for them during that year, yeah. Obviously didn't score that day, but in our last game against them, which actually, again, was also the last league game of the season, in the 16-17 campaign, he did score 2 against us that day. But yeah, I just...
Him and Russell, wasn't it? They were the duo that were scoring hundreds of goals for Airdrie back then. I just, yeah, brutal.
Yeah, sticks out in the memory, unfortunately. I certainly hope Enzo's right, and I suppose I do still believe that Enzo's right and that these records are made to be broken, and I don't know how I'm going to feel on Friday. I know how I'm going to feel on Friday, actually. It's going to be absolutely miserable. We're yet to see, and I mean, there's nothing really kind of official, I don't think, or from Rhys McCabe in terms of talking about what he's going to do going into this Friday yet. I'm sure he'll do some kind of match preview, like obviously Callum Davison does for us on our social medias. But given the history of, well, Rhys McCabe in the playoffs last season, I think we already spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, where he does have previous of resting players going into the playoff. They are confirmed. Even if the worst happens to us on Friday, they're not going to win 10-0, so they're not going to get that goal difference swing to overtake Partick Thistle. They're fourth place. They're set in that position. A lot of their fans have been talking about it online, that there is talk of them resting players. Obviously, who that actually entails, we don't actually know. But you've got to imagine that they will do that, and that will be an advantage for us on the night. But I suppose our players, our squad, have to go into it expecting a full-strength Airdrie team, which has caused us some problems this season, obviously, with two pretty difficult draws, and, of course, that horrific late defeat at Hampden. I suppose the first thing for us in terms of the squad for Friday is waiting to hear if we have any injury update on, well, particularly Danny Wilson and Jack Thompson, before we can start looking at who else we play. I mean, obviously, with Tizzard going off, and he's confirmed that he's going to be out for this week, who fills in at that third centre half role? Would you be having Tommy Robson coming in there, obviously, as the substitute he was made, or would you bring Lewis Reed in into that position, or who gets moved around where? Let's assume Wilson and Thompson are out for this bit here. Who fills that gap at probably left centre half?
I think it is Tommy Robson, to be honest. I think you play Robson, Fox and Bannon, and you make that work. It should be doable. I think the three of them are capable enough, and in a game of such magnitude, I think they will. The talent and the leadership is there for them to step up and do what we need them to do at the back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's any other option, really. I mean, Reid has had some appearances this season, more so under Veldman, but I think he's still got a bit of development to do, so it's got to be Robson. You've got to be trusting your experienced guys in these scenarios. You have to. Charlie Fox, I assume, will be sitting in the middle of those three because he sat in there when Tizzard went off. Bannon at the right side, and then they'll have Longridge and Scott in the respective wing-back positions covering for them, and I think that should be fine. I mean, Robson's been a wee bit hot and cold this season, but I think him in three there with the knowledge that he also has the backup of Scott, if sort of defensively, and I think that'll be okay. We don't really have any other options, I don't think, at this point.
The sort of front line certainly picks itself, and the midfield probably does if Thompson's going to be missing. Obviously, you'd probably have him if he's fit. Do you think he'll go into centre? You probably would go into centre-half. Oh, God, I don't know. These are the kind of decisions Callum Davis is going to have to make, and unfortunately, at this moment in time, with the sort of limited news that we have, we're going to struggle to make it, but I don't know. I think even as I'm continuing to talk, actually, I think I've gone from a 4 to about a 6. I don't know. I'm not...
You talked yourself into that.
I know. I think I did. I know. I've not helped myself, have I? I thought it had to be mentioned. It had to be brought up, but it's... oh, God, it's going to be absolutely frightening, isn't it? I mean, is there any... There is no kind of conversation for changing anything going forward. To say the midfield would perhaps be the only one where... Whether it be Turner, If Thompson and Wilson are fit, are you going to put both of them in the back three? Callum, will come to you first. Would you put both of them in the back three, or would you be having Thompson in midfield?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would definitely be having Thompson in midfield. That is my preference. I think he adds so much, and I'd be sort of taking him in the place of Turner. I don't think that will happen, though. I think Davidson's made it particularly clear that he likes Thompson in defence, which is absolutely fine as well. I mean, he's been excellent there. And if we line up with a sort of back three of Thompson, Wilson, and Fox, then, I mean, that should be good enough against most teams in the Championship. So I'd be absolutely fine with that. But for me personally, Thompson's still a midfielder. I think that's where he's most effective. And I think we have missed that. We've talked a lot about how Davidson plays to player strength in terms of Sheridan and our defensive unit. I think Turner's the one player who I think's not had that over the last wee while. But we can let him away with that if whatever formation he plays, he can play Thompson at blooming goalie if he wants, if it gets as a win, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree. I think playing Jack Thompson as a centre half is a luxury that we can't afford, because we really need him to do what he does best in the midfield. And I think it's possible that if anybody's scouting Jack Thompson and potentially looking to sign him, hopefully they aren't, but you know, he's a talented guy and I'm sure they have plenty of eyes on him. There may be clubs that are looking at him as a centre half. But for me, we as a team benefit from having him more in the middle of the park. I think that's pretty unquestionable at this stage in the season, having seen him in both roles.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. So I think the rest of the lineup then picks itself. So score predictions, is there an update? Please don't tell me Enzo had Thomas first goal scorer.
No, but I can tell you someone else who did.
Oh, okay. It wasn't me, was it?
No, it wasn't you, David. It was me. It was me. So, yes, predictions for last week. I had 2-1 Queens, I had 2-1 Queens, and I had Dom Thomas as the first goal scorer. So some points to me. David, you had 2-0. You had Peyton Thomas, so the wrong way around in terms of Thomas's goal. Enzo, you had McKinstry to be first goal scorer, followed by a Peyton double. So 3 points to me. First time in 5 weeks that we have had points since you got your last big win, David, when you got your five-pointer, which I think was only the second one of the season. So 3 points to me, 1 point to you, David, 1 point to Enzo. So it does actually make it... What's that?
Yeah, that must have had quite an impact in the league table then.
It does. It does. We are going down to the wire on this, so... For going into the final, hopefully, fingers, toes, everything else crossed, the final game of the season, I am on 27 points. David, you are on 25 points. And Enzo, you are on 27 points. So it is actually all to play for. I mean, it's going to be hard for you to go ahead, David, but if you get a correct first goal scorer, then you might be able to at least bring it back to a draw, in which I'll need to magic up some sort of tiebreaker scenario. So, yes, lead the way.
Okay.
What's your prediction?
It will be 3-0? 3-0. 3-0 Queen's Park. It will be Peyton, Sheridan, and... give me Charlie Fox. He loves a goal on the last day of the season.
All right, cool. And I'll give you the luxury of going second.
I was going to ask, actually, because it's been a long, long time since I've been anywhere other than top of the league table. So I think out of fairness, I should get this opportunity.
And do you know what? After that, I've rescinded it. I'm going first.
I'm going 3-1 Queen's Park. 3-1 I'm taking. And I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Sheridan to get the first goal, followed by Dom Thomas and Rory Payton.
All right, cool. The standard trio. Right, okay. I'm just going to make it nice and simple then. We are going to win 1-0. It's going to be nervy, but we don't tend to have big scoring games against Airdrie. I'm sure if you look back through certainly this season and last season as well, there wasn't many games that went, or I can't remember the last time actually we had a game that went above two or three goals in its entirety. So I'll go for 1-0 Queens, and it will be Captain Dom leading us to safety.
I would take any of those. I'm willing to forfeit winning this title again if it means that we stay up without any hassle on Friday night. Please just let it happen, Queen's Park.
We also have the man of the match table going down to the last game of the season, so it will be between Callum Ferry and Dom Thomas. So obviously we give out the man of the matches every single game, aside from the games where we decide that everybody's been too bad that nobody deserves it. But yes, it will be between Ferry and Thomas. So depending on what happens in the last game of the season, we'll get an outcome to that as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously love Callum Ferry, but I think on Friday I'd love to be coming back here saying yeah. Dom Thomas, man of the match. I think that's a perfect indication of how we want the game to go. Other games in the league, well, there's only one that matters, isn't it? And that's Inverness against Morton. Obviously, every game is on Friday, 7:45. Morton are currently in fifth place, 1 point ahead of Dunfermline, 2 points ahead of Ayr. Ayr and Dunfermline play each other. So Morton, I can't believe I'm actually going to talk them up a little bit, but surely they're going to want to confirm fifth place. Would that be the second season in a row they finish fifth? Did they finish slightly lower than that last season?
No, they finished fifth last season. They were fifth.
So they'll be looking to confirm that again. So go. No, I'm not going to. I was about to start actually cheering them on there. No, just we want Morton to win, beat Inverness. Then it doesn't matter what happens to us. But of course, we need to, at very least, match Inverness's result. Currently, we are 1 point ahead of them in the table, and our goal difference is a fair bit worse as well. So. Of course, that means if Queen's Park were to lose and Inverness draw, we would fall into ninth place on goal difference. So, at the very least, we have to match Inverness's result against Morton. Ideally, Queen's Park will go and destroy a second-string Airdrie team, and Morton, for the first time in a lifetime, will do us a favour. Let's hope that that is the case. Don't know if I'm looking forward to the game yet. I'm looking forward to... Friday and this, I'm hoping, to be perfectly honest, that the season is over on Friday. Enzo, I look forward to seeing you there. Callum, what are your plans this weekend? Of course, Queen's Park don't stream the games, so you're not going to get a chance to watch this.
No. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Either way, I don't know. I actually think I might try and go out and like turn my phone off or something like that. I don't know. It's going to be horrible. But yes, I'm sure I'll be... Yeah, terrified. I honestly kind of thought that when I moved over here that some of the nerves around these kind of games would maybe dissipate a wee bit because I can't actually go to the games. I think it feels worse. I don't know why. It's a different kind of pain. I don't like it. But yes, similar to you, David, I would like the season to be over on Friday and we can all start getting excited for the summer ahead.
Yeah, it'd be such a relief, wouldn't it, if it's full-time... on Friday night, that was it, because it's been a difficult one to endure. There have been a lot of moments that have really, really tested our resolve as fans, and it's been a tough watch at times. So if we could just close the book on it with a nice, comfortable victory, and we'll have a wee break, which obviously isn't actually that short these days, but because before you know it, they'll be following up with the draw for the League Cup group stages, and those games come around very, very quickly. But that's fine. I'll take a wee breather, and then. Hopefully give Davidson the opportunity to build the team that he wants and that he thinks he can compete in the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed, we say that this will be the last game of the season, but I suppose we better just say that after the results in League One at the weekend there, it's Montrose are confirmed fourth place. So should the worst happen, we will be taking on Montrose next week, but let's not think any more about that right now. But it's there, but anyway, that's that. Let's stop because I'm starting to get up to like a 9 or a 10 already. Let's move on, Enzo. I am looking forward to seeing you on Friday afternoon. I'm sure Friday afternoon will start early. Callum, whatever you end up getting up to, I hope you have a great time. But until next week, it has been a pleasure as always. Continue finding us on Twitter at Spiders Talk Pod. Continue finding us in all the threads on Pye and Bovril relating to Queen's Park. Thank you for coming back, listening to us again this week, and we will see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening.
Ludenda Castle Ludendi. Play for the sake of the game. Play for the sake of the game.